It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the show, and let's say hi to Mary Meyer, Horticulture Science faculty member at the University of Minnesota Extension Horticulturist, and just an all-around smart, award-winning person.
Thank you, Denny. Great to be here.
Nice to see you again, Mary. Thanks very much. You know, before we, well, certainly we'll invite our listeners to call in. They're doing that right now. Text, and they're doing that right now as we speak. The phone number, in case you don't know, 651-989-9226. The text number is 81807. I saw you reading the St. Paul paper this morning.
Yes, I was looking at the front page of the Pioneer Press. Has a story on the emerald ash borer, which is a very common tree for us. Ash is a very common tree in Minnesota, native tree, wonderful urban tree. But unfortunately, we have the emerald ash borer to deal with.
Yes.
And some people feel this year it's going to take a big leap, a big jump with where we are finding these. So this is an invasive insect. The borer is one of the most deadly insects. And if you have ash trees on your property, as most of us do, native ones or ones we've planted, you really need to inspect the trees. People talk about three choices. The one choice of doing nothing, which is, I guess that is a choice.
Yeah.
It's not a good choice. And then either treating your trees or removing your trees, but you're going to have to replace your tree. This is what it will come down to. You can treat your trees now, and we are not doing that yet at the Arboretum, but we certainly have removed all of the ones that are marginal. We haven't treated yet at the Arboretum because the emerald ash borer has not been sighted within 5 miles of the Arboretum. But most of the metro area now has... over to Plymouth, where I live, it's been sighted, and most of the metro area is within 5 miles of an actual sighting of an emerald ash borer, the insect. So treating the trees, get an arborist out. They'll give you estimates. The treatment lasts for 2 years, but this is something that you start and you can prevent it from happening. You might be able to have your tree live throughout this whole episode if we can find out other treatments and keep up with the sanitation.
Wow.
So it's a very big issue. The other part of this, the more hopeful part of this, is plant another tree. You know, go to different species. Go think about the oaks. I planted the St. Croix elm, the elm that's a local native elm that's resistant to Dutch elm disease. But there are many, many other trees, evergreen and deciduous, you could think about planting.
That's a good idea. So they're predicting a tough year.
Right. And we just never know. This was a difficult winter for many plants, and we hope many of these insects that bother us. And we're just finding out now, how did the emerald ash borer come through the winter? Because, of course, some of our plants were just figuring what's dead and alive with the plants. But we were hoping that our winters would be more destructive for the emerald ash borer, but that has not proven true.
Texter says, autumn blaze maple, very yellow. And I'm not sure this other word here, something last fall, something about copper.
Maybe discolored last fall.
Or any suggestions?
Maybe colored early last fall.
Okay.
So autumn blaze, a wonderful tree, almost overplanted now. Boy, you see huge lines of that. It's a beautiful tree, wonderful color. But that yellow discoloration is a sign it could have injury. We do know that stem girdling roots, those circling roots, are a problem with trees grown in containers. Most growers today are extremely well aware of that, but occasionally you still find them in the landscape. So I would think about a soil test for sure here with the yellow color, additional fertilizer, especially tree fertilizer, liquid fertilizer. When you see the color right away, could be chlorosis. But having a tree specialist look at it, do a soil test, and probably fertilize.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones, Mary. Let's see who's been away. We have a bunch of callers. Ed is calling from New Hope, I believe. Go ahead, Ed.
Good morning. enjoy your program. I have a question about bearded iris. I think these are hybrids, and the stalks get real tall, and they get four or five blooms on the end, and then they fall over and lay on the ground. And is there a reason for this? Have I done something wrong?
No. Well, the only thing, the first thing I would say is they have to be in full sun. Full sun is wonderful for iris. Once they get shady, the plants tend to get, they kind of stretch, they get leggy, and they do fall over. If yours are in full sun, then this is just a characteristic of that particular cultivar. So right now, we are enjoying a beautiful, beautiful spring with this glorious bearded iris. They are fragrant. They are beautiful. Their collection at the Arboretum is fantastic right now. But this is just what happens with some that have, as you say, they're so heavy with blooms, they actually fall over. But full sun is the best treatment against flopping iris.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. Ken is calling from Blaine with a question. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes, thank you. I have a question on Japanese knotweed. I'm wondering how to get rid of it. I evidently got it in a plant exchange some time back, and it's kind of taking over.
So this is a very tough weed to control. Our winters do help keep this in check a little bit, but this is a gigantic rhizome system. So the rhizomes on this are big, as big or bigger than your fingers. So you want to repeatedly cut it or mow it from the top, and you can try covering it up. It'll come through black plastic. It'll come through a lot of organic mulches. But repeatedly cut it off and cover it up. If that is too much for you, just that mechanical control, then you can use chemical control with Roundup. Be very selective, of course, and just put it on the knotweed. You need 6 to 12 inches of healthy green tissue for that to be taken up by the knotweed. But even one application of Roundup will probably not kill this plant. So it's a repeated effort for 2 or 3 years. And hopefully after 2 or 3 years, you won't have it anymore.
Well, interesting, Mary. I'm going to get Carolyn Shoreview on the line here with a similar. I think it's a similar question. Did you get any help there, Carol?
Yeah, I did. My question was going to be how to kill or get rid of Japanese knot, and I thought it was knot wood, but I must be wrong.
Maybe it kind of seems like wood. It's so tough. But yeah, weed polygonum is yeah, it's just herbaceous, but very, very persistent. And it sometimes gets its roots in among rocks or other things where it's difficult to weed and get it out. So it can be just really a problem. So.
Yeah, this is planted in a by a house, and it's covered with stone in that area because there's nothing else grown there, and it tends to head for the house. I don't know if it wants to climb. I've heard it can take siding right off of houses.
Probably not in our climate will it do that, but right up against the house, it has some security and some protection there for the roots. So it's harder than ever for you to get to it. But unless you want to excavate that whole area, just repeatedly cutting it back, and then chemical control will help you.
All right. Mary, we need to take a quick break, but we have more show to come on our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. And welcome back to CCO's Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota is with us today, and I know we're going to talk in a bit, like we always like to do, about the Arboretum. There's so many good things going on. We'll do that coming up here. But in the meantime, Mary, a lot of callers, a lot of texters. Let me grab before we, I'll tell you what, Carol in Minneapolis has been waiting. Carol, what is your question for Mary?
Hi, my question, good morning, first off. My question is, I have some potted geraniums, and once the blooms are dead, they say to cut them off, and I'm wondering, do you cut them close down to the dirt, or do you cut it more up by the bloom so that new blooms come out?
You just cut it up by the bloom. So you want to take the stalk off that had the flowers, but no leaves. So that's kind of a little node or a swollen place at the bottom of the stem that has the flowers on geraniums. So you just kind of break that off. Leave all the leaves.
Okay. Let's pick up on a couple of text messages before we grab some more calls. Texter says, I have knockout roses. I have heard that coffee grounds are good for them. If so, how much, how often, and how do they help the rose bushes?
Well, coffee grounds are a good source of organic matter that we generate in our own kitchen. And yes, you can put those on roses. You could put those on any plants. They have a small amount of nutrition. The basic thing is they're organic matter. If you've got knockout roses and you've gotten those to live in Minnesota, good for you. That's not a fully hardy type that we have. We saw a lot of death on roses this year. But you, I doubt if anyone could over-apply that. Now I'm thinking of people who drink massive amounts of coffee, yes. And maybe you could. But for the most part, a typical homeowner, you can put that on, work it into the top of the soil, or you can also add it to your compost. If you work it into the top of the soil, you might really disturb the roots too much of the rose. So I would do that occasionally, but also you can just put it on your compost pile.
Compost. Very good. Texter says, I cannot plant all of my dahlias this year. Will they keep till next year?
No, they will not. They will expire within a month or so from now if you haven't planted them. So maybe give them away. Look for
there
a plant sale, an
yeah.
exchange, or a... I guess you could always put them in end of your driveway with a free sign on.
That's...
But they won't live if they're not planted.
All right. No. Is it okay, Texter says, to plant tomatoes near raspberries?
Yes, you can do that. I'd be a little concerned about the raspberries shading the tomatoes. But as far as diseases that they, I can't think of any diseases, maybe a virus, but the raspberries are in the rose family. Tomatoes are in the nightshade Solanaceae family. Different families, different diseases. Just give them both as much light as possible.
Okay. Back to the phones we go, Mary. Phyllis is calling from Edina. Phyllis, you're on with Mary.
Good morning. I have a large row of irises. They're in my backyard. They have sun probably at least half the time. And this year, I only got one stalk of a bloom. I was wondering, is there something wrong with the soil or what I can do so next year I get blooms for all of them?
The large bearded iris really benefit from division. And so if it's been five or more years since you divided them, they kind of get too crowded. And then the fact that they only have half a day of full sun will limit their floral production. So I would encourage you to go through the iris and at least a section of them, do the division, throw out any old ones, any that have small rhizomes to them. The time for a division of bearded iris is the end of July. So I would wait until they're dormant. And then the end of July, they go into a dormancy. So late July, early August is prime time for dividing them. They'll get reestablished then before the winter. And next year, I think you will see more flowers.
All right. That's good news. Let's see. Who is next? Cindy is calling from New Prague, Minnesota. Go ahead, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Have some snow, I think they're called snow anemones. I've had them there for a long, long time, but they're getting very thick and they're no longer blooming. And I'm wondering, do I cut back them, cut deadhead them, and then I want to transplant them to another part of my garden? When can I do that?
Well, there is a Canada anemone that is native to Minnesota. It's blooming right now. It might have finished blooming in your garden. I just saw some of those down here on the Nicollet Mall here in Minneapolis, and they were blooming nicely. If it's the Canada anemone, which is the hardy one in Minnesota, that has a great rhizome system. That's a very tough, hardy plant, and you can almost divide that any time. So you can deadhead it and then divide it. The other anemone, many of them are not fully hardy in Minnesota, but I think you probably have the ones that are hardy. So I would say when they're finished blooming, keep as many roots as possible when you do divide them and transplant them.
All right. I think Lynn is next on the phone with a question for you. Lynn, go ahead. Mary's listening.
Yes, I have a three-year Japanese lilac tree that last year bloomed beautifully, and now this year it's healthy, but there's not one bloom on it. Is that an every other year bloomer?
No, it isn't. We think that the tree lilac is a reliably hardy every year bloomer. So I'm not sure what happened to your tree. We're just starting to see the tree lilacs now. Some of them are blooming. Others are just starting to bloom. I think you said it's 3 years ago you planted it. I think it will bloom again for you. I'm not sure why it didn't this 1 year, but full sun is again something that it.
No, we have to break here. We do have another half hour of the show to go. Mary, there's a text before we break, and I'm not sure if there's an answer for this. Can you recommend something to plant around my summer home to repel mice?
No, I can't think of a single plant that does repel mice. Most plants provide habitat for mice. So repelling mice, the best thing to do is really either you yourself or get a exterminator out to look for access around the base of the house. So you need to exclude the animals from coming in and then move back any plants at all, put a mulch there or something that doesn't create a habitat.
All right, very good. All right, we'll be back, as I said, another half hour of the show to go on our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by By the Yard Patio Furniture. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour here on CCO Radio, brought to us by the Yard Patio Furniture. Mary Myers with us. And Mary, what's going on at the Arboretum? We always like to ask you that. It's such a great place to visit.
Oh, it is so beautiful now at the Arboretum. We've had a couple people call about their iris. So the iris are just glorious. Wonderful fragrance to the iris. And then the peonies, oh my goodness, the peonies are just beautiful again. Another fragrant plant that we can grow better here in the north than they can in the south. So the peonies look beautiful. And then the roses are starting to come. You know, we have several rose gardens at the Arboretum, and they are roses. I always think of June as the month for roses. So they are just starting to bloom. And we have perfect weather now. This not real hot, not real cold. So many of the flowers will last. And the new annuals went in celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Arboretum.
Wow, 60th.
So very nice, yes.
I guess. Well, let's see. Mary Lou is calling from Crystal with the question. Hi, Mary Lou.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I had you on speaker. I have a question about peonies. I have several, and most of them have bloomed, and some of the petals have already dropped, and I'm wondering what to do with that bud.
With the seed pod that's left
on
there?
Yes, the seed pod. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Yes, you should cut that off, because you don't really want to have the food reserves go into the seed. So you can cut those off and leave as many leaves as possible, but cut off any of the buds.
All right, very good. Texter, we got to grab a couple text messages here, too, before back to the phones. Texter says, I just removed an old lilac bush. I cut the roots best I could. I plan on planting another kind of bush in its place. Will the remaining lilac roots start growing again? And if so, what should I do?
Well, they might. I would wait till you have that problem. They won't necessarily start growing from the roots. If you left some of the stem in there, and lilacs do have a tendency to, if a branch lays on the ground, it can root. But if you got most of the branches out and you're just concerned about roots that are deep in the soil, I don't think you will see that.
Okay. Let's go to Golden Valley. I think Miller is there. Miller, you're on with Mary.
Good morning. I love your program. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I learned some things enough things already this morning. I can go back to bed.
Sounds good to me.
We want you to go back to gardening.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
I got
yeah.
there already this morning. Okay. I got two questions. The first is we've had all of a sudden a mold problem or a vole problem, and they got right in the middle of my strawberry patch, and it's all just all bumpled up. What can I do? Or what should I do?
That's really difficult because with the animals, we have choices of exclusion or trapping. And so with the in-ground animals, moles and voles, it's very hard to exclude them. And so trapping is the best resort. You can, I don't know, it's in your strawberries, so how practical this is. If it's in your lawn, you could walk on those tunnels. But putting in a trap is it. Hopefully this will not be a long-term thing. These animals are moving around. They're looking for sources of insects and other food that's in the ground. So hopefully this will be a one-time thing, but it's very difficult.
They can really do a lot of damage, too.
They can. I think that's the frustrating thing about animal damage, whether it's deer, rabbits, voles. They can do a massive amount of damage in a short amount of time and leave us with problems.
Miller, did that help you?
With that one, yes. My other one is you talked a little while ago about putting your coffee grounds that it can almost go on anything. During the winter, I put mine around my hydrangea, and, of course, I can't dig them in. But is that going to be any benefit?
Well, it won't do any harm, and it can improve the organic matter over time. So that's fine. But, that's not a problem.
All right, good. Thanks, Miller. Fred is calling from Bloomington with a question for Mary. Go ahead, Fred.
I've got some geraniums and some begonias that are, the stems are turning black right where they come out of the ground for about 2-3 inches. The plant seems to want to continue to grow. The leaves are green, but the stems dampen off at the ground, and they're black. What's going on?
I'm not sure. That does definitely sound like a fungal problem or a botrytis blight, some type of a rot problem. I would try to keep the foliage as dry as possible. Now, if the leaves are still green and look good, then there is some, the vascular system is working and there is some water and everything going up to the leaves. So I would just concentrate on keeping the foliage and the top of the plant as dry as possible. It might help if you put a mulch around to lift up the stems and leaves from direct contact with the soil. So hopefully that will help, and just keep the top of the plant dry.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Fred. We were talking about ash trees when we first opened up the show, Mary, and a texter wants to know, do the ash borers only live in ash trees?
That's right, they do. There are other borers that we deal with and have as well, but the emerald ash borer only lives on ash trees.
Texter wants to know, what's the best way to kill volunteer trees like elm and poplar in my flower beds?
Well, the best way is to really hand pull them out. When the soil is wet and when the trees are young, you want to pull at the base of that sapling and try to get the roots out. This is a year, and from proceeding forward, we could see a lot of maple and elm seedlings. This was a masting year for those plants, and they had huge amount of seeds on them. So a lot of those seeds will germinate, but when they're young, just hand pulling them out is best.
Texter says, I planted a 16-foot B&B river birch clump a year ago. Is it safe to trim some lower and mid branches off now that didn't grow leaves this season?
Yes, you could do that. Birch trees, right? That's what kind that was.
River birch, yeah.
River birch, yes, you can do that. We don't want to do any pruning on our oaks because this is a prime time for oak wilt. But if you know those branches are dead and they're unsightly, yes, you can prune those off.
You were talking about peonies a bit ago, Mary. Texter says, what could I do to get the peonies to have more buds? Does it have anything to do with the age of the plant?
It might, but peonies can outlive people. And you see this in old gardens. And so peonies are very, very long lived. So the age doesn't really have anything to do with it. Peonies need a lot of sunlight. They like full sun conditions, just a tremendous amount of light. They don't like being crowded out by other plants nearby. So the spacing around them, let them grow on their own. Those are the two things. If you have those and you've had a lot of blooms in the past, you might think about a soil test and adding fertilizer. But full sun is really important. If you have a peony that has never bloomed, then it could be the planting depth that's a problem. Planting peonies too deep will cause them to not bloom.
Interesting. Here's a text. Says, 15-year-old shrub rose budding immensely now in Chisago City. I need to move it. Early spring is the best time. If I transplant it this August or September, roots won't reestablish before winter, and I cannot fertilize it. Your thoughts about that?
Early in the spring is the best. Actually, if you can do it before the plant leafs out in the spring, that is the best time. If you do it in the fall, it's definitely a risk. We do have some really hardy shrub roses, but early spring is ideal, especially if you have a choice.
Texas says, I like my vigorously growing vine, which is going up the side of our house and chimney, but it is damaging that it crawls along the roof line as well, as a question. Or is it damaging that it crawls along the roof line?
It definitely could be. You have to really evaluate and look at what it's doing to your house. And the type of vine is really important because different vines use different types of support systems. So some have aerial roots, some have little suction cups like petioles, some have twines that they need something to twine around. If you have something like the Boston ivy or the other ivy, the quinquefolia, those two ivies are very, very vigorous in our climate, and they will cause structural problems eventually. So you have to really evaluate how much you love that vine and do some pruning. And, of course, getting into your spouting and encouraging other plants to grow there where it would capture other debris is another issue.
Tester says, rhubarb is not turning red this year. Healthy looking, but can I still eat it?
Yes. You know, people often ask this, and this is really a cultivar thing. Different seasons, if plants grow very vigorously or if they're shaded, they can be greener. But green rhubarb is edible. Of course, you only eat the petiole or the stalk in rhubarb. The leaves are poisonous. If you're unhappy with the color of your rhubarb, consider buying a new plant. There are cultivars that are very red.
All right. Very good. Mary, we need to take a quick break here. We will be back with more Smart Garden on 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. You know, we haven't given the website yet.
Oh, my goodness.
A whole hour.
extension.umn.edu. And then click on Garden. So we have lots of resources there, pictures of insects, pictures of weeds, pictures of good plants, and what's wrong with my plant. Tremendous resource. extension.umn.edu and click on Garden.
Very good. Diane is calling from Clara City, I believe. Diane, good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to report that Lavon Swart, S-W-A-R-T, a longtime master gardener, over 30 years, has died this last week.
Is that a name you're familiar with, Mary?
Yes, it definitely is. The Master Gardener program now is over 40 years old in Minnesota, and unfortunately, we do see many of our longtime Master Gardeners now that are passing away. But yes, I remember Lavani, and the work that Master Gardeners do is such a help out there in your communities. You know, people can call in here and ask us, but they're Master Gardeners in all the counties in Minnesota. Hennepin County has over 400.
No kidding.
Master Gardeners.
Wow.
Yes, what a group. So they're wonderful. They're out there working in your community to answer questions. And thank you, Diane, for letting us know about this. I will be sure and look up her obituary. And I think the folks in the state office might already know about this, but we're sorry to hear that.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Diane. Maggie, I believe, is calling from St. Clair. Let's see. Maggie, you're on with Mary. Good morning.
Hi, Mary. I have a question about my hostas. They're facing north, and I'm not sure of the variety, but the center is green and the outside edge is cream. And I'm having trouble with the leaves turning brown on the edges. And they're planted near a low shrub evergreen. Would that have any problem?
So brown on the edges is usually a sign of something to do with a water stress. So like they got enough water and then they dried out. So I'm not sure. The only thing could be the competition from that evergreen as far as taking up too much water. When you have a variegated hosta like this that's white and green, they tend to be more sensitive. They're not as strong because they don't have total chlorophyll. They have a lot, all that white are cells without chlorophyll. So it's not as strong. It's going to be more sensitive. So you might consider moving that hosta or making sure that it has additional water.
Okay.
And sometimes sun can do that, but on the edge, it's usually a water issue.
Okay. We're going to get some more text messages, but let's get Kevin and Stillwater's question answered. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I have a cottonwood that I bought on a whim. My wife hates it, and so I put it in the back of our lot, and it was doing really well. It's been in for about 4 years. I haven't quite eliminated my wife as a suspect. She could very well have had a hand in it. The tree came back this spring, only one-third of it living, and it was at the very top. The leaves looked perfectly healthy. And then two-thirds of the tree just looked dead as a doornail. And now maybe the bottom third is coming around. I don't know what I should do. Should I try to nurse this tree that my wife doesn't care for back to health, or do you think it's sick, or was there a blight, or was it the extremes of last winter? Maybe it's windburned. I don't know. I don't know a lot about cottonwoods. I just like them in the fall. They're very aromatic.
Well, cottonwood is a really tough tree and a very good survivor with our prairie weather extremes. But the fact that you planted this cottonwood leads me to believe that this is a selected cultivar. And some of those can come from areas south of here or just different than what your own landscape is. So I would say the injury here is showing up is the winter. We've had even evergreens. You can see a lot of plants that are fully hardy. This winter was strange and difficult. And for some reason, big sections of your tree have died. I don't know, Kevin, this almost sounds like a marriage issue as much as it is a plant issue. I hate to say this, but you might be better off going to the nursery with your wife and selecting something that you both like and agree on. Now, we talked about autumn blaze earlier. That's a fast-growing tree. It's almost overplanted, but there are fast-growing choices. I mean, I like the oaks, the St. Croix elm, white pines. There are a lot of other trees you could select. So it's really a question of, is this deformed cottonwood going to look good?
All right, very good. Good luck with that, Kevin. Texas says, I have lantana in hanging pots. How do I deadhead them?
Lantana grows in a cluster, so you'll end up taking off a whole flower cluster. It's kind of like deadheading a geranium. Those clusters are big enough that, you know, lantana will benefit from deadheading. The bigger the flower or the flower cluster, the more a plant will benefit from deadheading. So lantana is a nice plant for hot, dry conditions, and deadheading will help it.
Another texter says, how do I get rid of broadleaf violets that are taking over my yard?
Violets are very difficult to control. So the regular broadleaf killing herbicides that have 2,4-D, MCPP, multiple two or three chemicals together will help kill the violets. Now, the issue you've got with violets is they have a huge reserve with that basal kind of crown that will help them to come back forever. And then they throw seeds out, so they come up easily from seeds. So this is a big effort to control them. They're a difficult weed, but you can, but it's basically just with repeated chemical control. Spring is okay. Fall is another time to treat violets.
Mary, we have less than 60 seconds to go. Last text says, this spring we're trying the straw bale planting technique, planted pepper plants, and doing well thus far. Overnight, the bale exploded with mushrooms. What happened? What do we do now?
Well, the mushrooms are just the organic matter decaying in there. They won't hurt anything. You'll probably want to break them off. They'll die on their own in a few days. But just remember, additional water and fertilizer you'll need to put on if you're doing the straw bale gardening. Straw doesn't have the resources that regular soil does.
When does one split peonies?
In the fall.
Okay.
Peonies bloom in the spring. We divide them in the fall, so a month before, so around Labor Day is a good time to dig up peonies and divide them.
Very good. And what is that university website?
extension.umn.edu, and click on Garden.
And if you have a chance, get to the Arboretum.
Get to the Arboretum, see the wonderful roses, iris, peonies, annuals.
All the great stuff there. Right. Thanks, Mary. We'll see you soon.
Wonderful to be here.
Thanks
Bye.
Very much. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota Extension.